Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Satin Creditcare Network Limited Q3 and 9 months FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. H.P. Singh, Chairman cum Managing Director of Satin Creditcare Network Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for taking the time to join us and discuss our financial results for Q3 and 9-month ending FY23. I wish all of you a very happy new year and continued success now and in the years ahead. I hope that you would get a chance to go through our quarterly results and investor presentation. Those who have not seen them yet can access the same via our website and stock exchange. It makes me happy to share with you that we have had a very good quarter, and looking at the business performance, it is fair to say that we are on a solid ground with growth and profitability back on track. We witnessed significant improvement in our financial and operational performance, backed by sustained business momentum and consistent improvement in our asset quality, demonstrating the commitment and tenacity of our people towards the desire for excellence. Before I move on to discuss the performance of the quarter, one thing which I would like to state is that whatever we have stated as guidance with all the stakeholders over the last 7 quarters, our performance is in line with the guidance as stated. Coming to the operation front, we have had a healthy disbursement for the quarter at Rs. 1,725 crores on a standalone basis, up by 59% year-on-year and 10% quarter-on-quarter. This was our highest quarterly disbursement in the last 7 quarters. We have started laying emphasis on acquiring new clients, and in Q3 FY23, first cycle clients accounted for 41% of standalone disbursement, up from 17% in Q3 FY22. Significant pick up in the disbursement led to a 11% year-on-year growth of AUM, which now stands at Rs. 6,798 crores on a standalone basis. The consolidated AUM stood at Rs. 7,945 crores. This growth is despite the write-offs done in 9 months FY23. If we had not done the write-offs, the year-on-year growth would have been 20% on a standalone basis. With positive traction on the business side, we are poised to deliver around 15 to 20% growth in this financial year, which is well within our guided range. The most important aspect of our business now is the build-up of the new portfolio, which originated from July 21 onwards. The performance is PAR excellence, with PAR 1 at 0.6% and PAR 90 at 0.1% as on 31st December 2022. This portfolio quality of ours is way better than the industry standard as seen in the data by Cliff Highmark. This is a testimony to our robust underwriting process and learning from the past crisis. The share of this new portfolio in overall on-book MFI portfolio is 90% as on date. The on-book GNP of the company stood at Rs. 188 crores, which is 3.92% of the on-book portfolio, down from 8.61% as on December 21. Assam constitutes 65% of on-book GNP at Rs. 122 crores. Excluding Assam, GNP as on December 22, stood at 1.45%, and in value terms, a mere 65 crores. The company has sufficient on-book provisions amounting to Rs. 140 crores as on Q3 FY23, which is 2.9% of on-book AUM. During 9 months FY23, collection against write-offs was Rs. 30 crores, which is still date the highest collection done by us. This is a result of our persistent efforts to collect back our bad loans even after write-offs. The collection efficiency for Q3 FY23 stood at 100%. We are gradually scaling our cashless collection, which is Rs. 200 crores collected to digital mode in 9 months FY23. If we include cash drop as part of cashless, the total share of cashless collection will be 26%, vis-a-vis industry at about 21%, which is the September 22 figures. Now let me update all of you about our restructured book as on date. This has now reduced from 1151 crores, which is 1,151 crores as on September 21 to Rs. 200 crores as on December 22. In percentage term, it has reduced from 21.4% to 4.2% of the on-book portfolio. This reduction in restructured book is a result of Rs. 588 crores of collections. We also have written off Rs. 363 crores from this book, As on December 22, out of the restructured book of rupees 200 crores now, 50% of the book amounting to rupees 99 crores is zero DPD. We have created provisions of rupees 82 crores on this book, thereby ending the pain of the restructured book. Coming to our Assam portfolio, we are optimistic of a turnaround in this geography and have disbursed loans amounting rupees 159 crores during 9 months FY23. The delinquencies in this book have been negligible, with PAR 1 at only 0.07% as on 31st December 2022. The on-book AUM stood at rupees 270 crores, which is 5.6% of the total on-book AUM. To give you an update on AMFIRS, Category 1 and 2 have been successfully completed. The groundwork for Category 3 borrowers, the sampling of data by credit bureaus has started. Further, the company is well capitalized with a CRAR of 27%, up from 22.6% in Q1 FY23, and a balance sheet liquidity of 1,300 crores as on Q3 FY23. During the quarter, the company received the second tranche of rupees 25 crores against the conversion of fully convertible warrants from Florent 3 Ventures LLP. This investment sends a very positive signal and provides comfort to all our stakeholders. With this growth capital, we are well poised to have a comfortable capital position. Moving further, the managerial and leadership skills of the management team at Satin have earned us another feather in our cap. I am happy to share that with all of you that Satin has been recognized as the top 50 companies with great managers 2022 out of 500 companies by the Great Manager Award, a platform that recognizes great managers and companies that nurture great managers. At Satin, we reiterate our commitment to sustainability of the environment and support of our communities through our various initiatives and the efforts of our committed workforce. Our clean energy program continues to attract participants and recognition while benefiting our customers. The core objectives of our CSR activities are fostering women's empowerment and encouraging education among the nation's youth, and gives me immense pleasure to share that we have been awarded by the Indian Social Impact Award for Best Education Support Initiative of the year 2022-23, solidifying our resolve to cater to community needs. We have constantly grown by placing a strong emphasis on customer service over the years. The cornerstones of Satin are technology-integrated processes, robust underwriting, domain expertise, driven workforce, and forward-thinking leadership. Going ahead, we are confident of continuing the growth momentum with better cost efficiencies while maintaining the asset quality. Now, let me give you the financial and operational highlights of our company. Starting with the consolidated operational highlights, our AUM as on 31st December stood at 7,945 crores. We have a customer base of 27 lakhs as on 31st December 2022. Our disbursement for the quarter stood at 1,880 crores as compared to 1,348 crores in Q3 FY22. Our assigned portfolio stood at 1,985 crores. As of 31st December 2022, 100% of our disbursement is made through cashless mode, while cashless collection stood at 6%. We have also adopted website payment options and UPI auto debit. Standalone operational highlights are: our standalone disbursements for the quarter stood at 1,725 crore as compared to 1,085 in Q3 FY22. We observed a strong growth momentum in the disbursement as a result of cautious and calibrated approach taken time to time. Average ticket size of MFI lending for the quarter stood at 43,000. Talking about our collection efficiency, the trends are as follows: Q1 FY23 97%, Q2 FY23 100%, Q3 FY23 100%. The collection efficiency of Q1 FY23, Q2 and Q3 FY23 is excluding the restructured portfolio. The collection efficiency on restructured portfolio for Q3 FY23 stood at 79.2%. We have a well-diversified customer base, a well-penetrated branch network across states, and 77% rural exposure. On-book GNPA reduced from 8.61% as on Q3 FY22 to 3.92% as on Q3 FY23. Rupees 452 crores to rupees 188 crores, out of which 122 crore pertains to Assam. Our restructured book now stands at 200 crores, which is approximately 4.2% of the on-book AUM. As of 31st December 2022, our total branch network count stood at 1,260 branches, which is spread across 401 districts. We have a total state and UTs count of 23, which makes us a well-diversified pan-India microfinance player. As of 31st December 2022, 96% of our districts have less than 1% of portfolio exposure. We have seen a significant reduction in our portfolio risk in terms of exposure to top four states, which contributes 55% in Q3 FY23 versus 77.3% in FY17. Our well-thought-out diversification strategy has enabled us to sail through difficult situations and capitalize on our idea of enriching our clients' lives through financing of various products, We have disbursed around rupees 35 crore during 9-month FY23 under the product finance category, which includes loans for bicycles, solar products, home appliances, and consumer durables. An update on the subsidiaries: business correspondent services under the Rashna Financial Services has an AUM of 563 crore as of 31st December 2022. The company operates through 157 branches and has more than 3.2 lakh active loan clients. Satin Finserv Limited, our MSME arm, has an AUM of 200 crores with three consecutive profitable years, CRAR of 54.3% and gearing of 0.9x. Total net worth stands at rupees 112 crores. Sorry. Satin Housing Finance Limited has now reached an AUM of 383 crores, including DA of 36 crores, having a presence across four states with 4,586 customers. SSL has a 100% retail book. The company has 18 active lenders, including NHBG Finance, CRAR of 58.4 and gearing of 1.9x. Total net worth stands at rupees 122 crores. The quality of portfolio remains intact with GNP of 0.5% as on December 22. To update you on amalgamation of the two wholly owned subsidiaries, the Rashna Financial Services Limited and Satin Finserv Limited, second motion application was filed with the Honorable NCLT on May 25, 2022. The said joint motion application was admitted by Honorable NCLT in its hearing dated July 8, 2022 and issued necessary direction of serving notices and newspaper advertisements. The company had served the notices to government authorities and completed publication in requisite newspaper as per order. The Honorable NCLT in its hearing dated January 2, 2023 has reserved the order for second motion application. The pronunciation of order is awaited. Lastly, as we are treading on the path of growth, we are prepared to the road of more profitability and cost efficiency. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Hi. Congratulations on a very healthy set of numbers. So, sir, it's good to see that we are actively addressing the delinquencies and flows from the old portfolio. And at the same time, the delinquencies from the new portfolio are minimal. So the credit cost picture seems to be clear, you know, that it's going to go down from here on. But my question is on the income growth, because in the last few quarters, you know, and this income growth has been coming from off-balance sheet funding and off-balance sheet direct assignments. So the income growth from the on-balance sheet portfolio growth and on-balance sheet funding availability, how should one look at it in the coming quarters? Or would the direct assignment remain a significant part on a continuous basis, or then we will move the portfolio more towards on-book basis, the availability of on-book funding?
So Rajiv, you know, if you look at the past history, you know, the post the pandemic, you know, there was a complete dry down in terms of the assignments, you know. It dropped down to levels, you know, where nobody was actually doing, you know, assignments across over there. Once the matrix for credit disbursements has started picking up, you know, the lenders have started coming back again in terms of how we are looking at DA assignment. Now, this is one of the products which is available from majorly the public sector banks, you know. In terms of what we look at is when we actually, during the last stages when the pandemic was about to happen, you know, our off-balance sheet and DA assignment was close to about 25 to 30%, you know. We are reaching that level, you know, and we will probably be within that range bound, you know, in terms of how we look at across over there. So, you know, for us, you know, I think, you know, as this probably comes to a place where we are in the range bound analysis of about 25 to 30%, we will remain across over there. And once that comes up, you know, which we are now closer to that across over there, I think, you know, the on-book portfolio will also start increasing across over there. And, you know, you have to probably look at from that broader perspective that this is also a product which is available, and a lot of lenders actually try to do this in terms of getting asset pools in their books across over there. So my sense is, you know, we are probably looking at a regime post the pandemic was as comparable to what the previous was before the pandemic of about 25 to 30%, and that will remain. You know.
Mm. And sir, can you comment on balance sheet funding availability? Because you spoke about 15-20% growth for the current year, and we are at 10% growth currently at the end of Q3. So we need to grow at a much rapid pace from here on. And also looking into FY24, is on balance sheet funding also coming through in the required amount as we'd want to grow our on balance sheet portfolio?
Yeah, it is there, you know. So Rajiv, you know, as I have reiterated so many times, is that, you know, the Q4 is always a very big quarter, you know, for in the entire year as such, you know, and we are poised to have that same kind of a growth pattern when you look at the last quarter, which happens across over there, and we're well on course. And we had guided for a 15-20%. We are on course to do that. We have done 11%. I think, you know, we'll be within our guided range of 15-20%. On book raising of, I think, you know, money is not a problem at all. I said, you know, it's only a few public sector banks which look at this product mainly in terms of how the funding is done. And that is, you know, how it probably moves around in the complete MFI sector as well. But so, you know, raising funds for on book and the availability is a lot across over there. And we have a very big basket. And if you look at our lenders, you know, the basket contains of about 65 to 70 lenders which are there. So no problem in terms of raising funds for on-book portfolios. Mm.
And sir, how should we look at your FY24, you know, profitability matrix, ROE, ROE? Because currently, you know, we have high credit costs and we have a high direct assignment income. But when we go into FY24, when, you know, the levels normalize for direct assignment and when the levels normalize for credit costs, and when you have growth coming back, what could be the sustainable ROE, ROE level that you would look to in FY24?
So I think overall, you know, I'm not giving you a guidance, but the ranges which I'm talking about, we're looking at a 20% growth. That is one. We're looking at ROA about 3. We are reaching there only basically. We're looking at a credit cost of about 1.5% to 2% on a stable basis across over there. Whatever pain had to happen, you know, is probably now on its last stages of finishing off. And, you know, this is how, you know, the overall matrix looks like, you know, growth, profitability, credit cost. I think, you know, this is where things stand across, you know.
Got it, sir. Thank you, and Mr. Clark.
Thank you so much, Rajiv.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Ronak Sangvi, retail investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Ravi.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers. A few questions. Because, I see that we have seen that our customer acquisition has been broadly flat. So, and we have 27 lakhs of customers as of now. So, can you help me as to which, how, what proportion will be repeat customers which will be in multiple cycles, and what proportion will be new to credit which we'll be having?
So Ronak, if you look at our presentation, you know, we've clearly mentioned that the L1 customers now are 41%, you know, as compared to our earlier this thing. So it's been a gradual process of post the pandemic, once things are stabilized, to start acquiring new customers. Our sense is flattish basically, because earlier for the last couple of years, we were just concentrating only on our repeat customers across over there. And now, with now L1 customers, you know, probably coming to the forefront, and we are also, you know, going forward, I think, you know, this probably will be addressed. Now we'll have, you know, we will have a start rise in terms of the numbers of clients which we address.
Sure, thank you. Also, one question was on the gross yield. So this quarter, the gross yield has been very high at 22.8% odd. And so, what what is generally the reason, or is this a sustainable growth yield if you are looking at, or what will be the sustainable growth yield targeted for FY24?
So, you know, the yields are marginally improving. One, that the portfolio quality is improving. Earlier, there used to be some yield loss because of high overdues. As the overdues are coming back on track, so yield is going up. And in any case, you know, the lending rates have also gone up. Corresponding, there's a little bit of increase in cost of funding. But cost of funding has not increased as much as the yields have improved. So, you know, it is there. So we can surely look at excluding the DA impact, close to about 11.5% of names in the business.
Okay. Thank you. So we have seen that we have taken a credit cost of around 49.
Oh, I'm sorry to talk to you. Your voice is breaking.
Am I audible now?
We can hear you, but your voice is not very clear. It's breaking.
Sorry, I'll probably try again. We have provided a credit cost of 49 crores at the moment.
We can't, you know, it's all breaking up.
Okay,
you know?
I'll done that again.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Uday Pai from Investec. Please go ahead. The line for the participant dropped. We move to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Varun Gia from Dimensional Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Just two questions. One is the provisions increased during the quarter, so is it an area of concern? And secondly, what were the slippages during the quarter?
The provision, you are saying the entire credit cost, huh?
Yeah, 55 crores, yeah.
Yeah, so this is our endeavor to clean the book. And as you say, we are coming, like what sir had said in the beginning of the call, we are cleaning the books, the legacy portfolio we are cleaning. So it's a part of that. It's not a point of concern because the 90% portfolio, we have already told that it is already impeccably clean and good asset quality.
You know, if you see the slide on restructured portfolio, we have written off close to about 25 crore out of the restructured book, etc. So we are cleaning up the book simultaneously so that there's no pain left out. If you see our broadly GNPA, about 65-70% of the GNPA are only from a champ. You know, we are cleaning up the book simultaneously. So 90% of the book is clean and balanced. Most of it is from a champ wherever there's a little bit of stress left out.
Okay. And what were the slippages during the quarter?
Around 85 crores, all in total. But then there are whatever write-off, they are after that.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Uday Pai from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So what is the interest rate that you are offering on microfinance currently? And the second question is, what is the growth outlook on microfinance?
Sorry, if I can, not very clearly audible, if you're talking about the interest rate which we are charging from the borrowers?
Yes.
It's about 24%.
24%. And what would be the growth outlook for FY24 and competition?
So our guided range is close to about
20%. And do you see the competition increasing? And can you give a bit flavor of competition and how it is affecting you or something like that?
So I don't know if you've read the latest reports which are coming in. The MFI sector is going to be close to about 12 lakh crores. You know, right now it's about 3 lakh crores. You know, that is where the growth and the demand stands, like, you know, in today's world. You know, so competition all the more feasible. You know, if we have more competition, in fact, it's better for us.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Rishikesh from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have only one question. This quarter, our operating expenses lower compared to last year and also last quarter. So is this like a sustainable level of OpEx you are going to see, or what can be the OpEx going ahead? Please, can you guide on the same?
See, we are constantly trying quarter by quarter to bring our OpEx down, and this has probably yielded results as you can see this quarter. Our endeavor is, as the portfolio in terms of when we look at recovery, we've got separate recovery teams, you know, separate teams which are looking at write-off collections as such, you know. So, and, you know, as we said, you know, we've had the highest ever, you know, in these 9 months that we've been able to get about 30 quarters. Once this starts taking the backseat across over there, I think, you know, we'll have more operating efficiency coming up. Similarly, acquisition of more customers, center size as we are trying to increase. Once things stabilize, you know, I think, you know, the operating efficiencies will also start kicking in. And we are looking at, you know, maybe a sub six, you know, somewhere where we are able to bring it down. So we are right now at about 6.63. Our endeavor in the next few quarters is also to bring it down to about 6%. And it's very sustainable.
Cost efficiency and the base effect will help us have a desirable OPEX number.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suraj Navandar from Sampada Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our asset quality on the new portfolio has been impeccable. And, is it sustainable at these levels, or where do you see this asset quality 12 months or 24 months down the line?
See, you know, this is, I won't say early days as yet, you know, but I think, you know, what we built up in the last, now it's been, it's run for about 1.5 years now. My sense is that it might, you know, probably be in the same range as this. Though definitely, yes, you know, when I talk about that, we've got a 90-plus NP of about 0.1%, you know. We were not saying that, you know, it probably be continuing forever. But definitely, yes, the way we are looking at our underwriting process, the way we have actually, and this is what, you know, we've remained flat for the last few years as such, just to make sure that our credit quality does not suffer when we actually get into the mode where growth starts taking place, and that is not being shown, you know. It's sustainable, yes, definitely, yes, you know, and that's why I said, you know, my guided range is that, you know, we would have a credit cost on a stable year at about 1.5% to 2%. Internally, our team has taken a much, you know, better target than that, you know, but that's internal for us, you know, but this is the overall thing, you know, which we are trying to guide everybody that, you know, it will be in this range bound for us.
Okay. And so how do you see your loan mix changing going forward? Are you focusing more on housing loans or MSME loans, or our loan mix will predominantly be driven by microfinance?
No, so we've got two separate subsidiaries, you know, which do their independent business of MSME financing and housing finance. And they are growing at their own pace, you know, process. If we say that, I think, you know, they're growing at about 50-60% year on year, and they will continue to do that, you know. So they are separate from the microfinance holding company as such, you know.
Okay. And sir, what is your cost to income ratio for this quarter?
47%.
47?
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, any plans to open new branches?
Well, that happens across, you know, in terms of our operations across. But you normally open about 50 to 20 branches quarter by quarter. So that's how
we opened 22 branches this quarter too. There aren't very high branch opening options other than where we want to slightly deep dive more.
So that's why I said, you know, about 15 to 20 branches quarter on a quarter, that's what we try and look at.
Okay, okay. And so this cost to income ratio will remain in this range with new branch openings, or it will go up?
No, it won't go up. You know, 15, 20 on a denominator of about 1,000 branches, you know, I think is hardly anything, you know, so it doesn't affect the cost to income.
Okay, okay. No problem. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press 1 to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Rahul Mishra, individual investor. Please go ahead.
No, thanks for taking my question. So just on this guided credit cost of 1.5% to 2% on steady state, would you say that steady state has now begun? And I'm saying this on a full book, so, you know, not differentiating between pre-July, post-July, Assam, or do you think that's a couple of quarters away?
So when I say steady state means because, you know, if I tell you right now, I don't think so I'll be doing justice to my statement. When I say steady state, it starts from the steady state of terms of affairs, both in collection as well as disbursement. And steady state starts from FY 2024. So it happens from 1st of April. You know, if I tell you a steady state, the way growth, the way disbursement, the way collection, and the way I said, you know, the new disbursements which are taking place, you know. So that's why the guidance I've set is 1.5%-2%. Internally, our target is much better than that, you know, but this is what the steady state of affairs talks about.
This would be the whole book, everything included, pre-July?
Yes, the whole book. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, this is.
Assam is an outlier, and if we get, you know, category three, that'd be an outlier in terms of whenever that happens, you know, across. So then we are confident it might happen before we end this quarter.
Got it. Very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Himanshu from Aditya Birla Sun Life Asset Management. Please.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. Probably I just joined the call a little late, so probably you would have.
Sorry to interrupt you. Your voice is not clear. May I request you to speak through the handset?
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. So just one question at my end. Probably you would have joined the call a little later, and you would have already answered. Probably, sir, sorry for that. It's fine.
No, no worries.
Question. So if you can give me this, since you have already given the post-July onwards, you have already given in terms of the PAR 0-1 to 90 DPD. Can I get the similar trend for the 10% of the portfolio, which is prior to the July 2021? How is the nature of this basically in terms of the forward flows in the 0 to 90 DPD?
Himanshu, you know, I think, you know, we haven't done that analysis, but just to give you a brief thing, out of this, you know, last 10%, about 200 crores is the restructured book, you know, so that is there, you know.
That trend is shared.
And that trend is shared basically because in that, you know, we've got about 100 crores, which is zero DPD. The rest probably, you know, I don't have a bifurcation of 1 to 90 and 90 plus, you know, but.
We've shared around 78 is in PAR 90, and that's also we've shared that, huh?
Yeah. So 78 is PAR 90, and we've got a provision of about 82 crores over there. You know, the balance is, I think, about 200-300 crores, which is probably the balance which is left out of our own book of about 4,000, about close to about 5,000.
4,000.
So balance is about 200 crores. And you can do the analysis, you know, that the pain probably, you know, of even the 10% book which is there is in terms of, you know, the most stressful was restructured book, and that is where the numbers stand.
Okay. So secondly, okay, so probably if you don't have these numbers, probably if I can give me some color around it in terms of the collection efficiency, because collection efficiency of the restructured we have already stated at 79. On the overall, it is at 100%. Probably of this remaining portfolio of 10%, which is outside the restructure, but still the prior to the July, can I get the collection efficiency number if you have?
Himanshu, on 96% of the book, the collection efficiency is 100%. On 4% of the book, which is restructured, the collection efficiency is 79.2%.
Okay. Okay.
So it is all inclusive. Even the other book, which is pre-July 21 but not restructured, the performance is not that bad. And another way to look at it is when we say our on-book GNPA is near 65-66 crores, barring Assam, that includes the whole of the book. So that is another way to look at it.
Fair. And my last question is around the disbursement. Since you have already given a couple of guidance in terms of the ROA stated, credit cost, AUM growth, if you can give me around what sort of a disbursement trend that we should target for you, that you guys are targeting for the next year that we should track, what sort of a disbursement and how probably which state that you are very comfortable, probably if any new states that you are very comfortable in terms of lending and probably one state, a few, and the remaining, and which states where you are still cautious of growth?
See, I think overall what we're looking at is when I said a 15%-20% growth for the next year means that average, it will probably come out to about 600-650 crores month on month basis. That is what the disbursement plan looks like. But a 20% growth is what we are targeting, and this year also it will be 20%, you know. And in terms of geography, I think, you know, we are probably looking at each and everything. We don't want to open up any more geography as such newly, because I think, you know, we've covered 23 states. We don't want to now get into maybe any other state, but have a deep diving into whichever state are probably working in. For us, you know, UP, Bihar, you know, I think, you know, are our mainstay states, you know, and we will continue to have you know, a deep dive into those states as such, you know. But I think overall it's normal as such, you know. There's no cautious stand to be taken across anywhere, you know. And I just gave you an indicator in terms of my speech, you know. I think maybe you were not there. At that time, we've disbursed now, and our the new portfolio over there, the NPA is...
PAR 1 is 0.06.
Yeah, 0.07%. Yeah.
Okay, sure. And can I ask you, can I give us some asset quality color of the non-MFI portfolio?
We have given for both the companies.
Both the subs we've given, you know, so...
0.5 for the housing company and around 4 point something for SFN. GNPA and net NPA around 2. So we've shared on their respective slides, Himanshu. Happy to guide you to that again.
Sure. I will take that.
Thanks.
Thank you, Himanshu.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshit Shah from Thinkwise Wealth Management, please.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is around the employee count. So when we look at the FY22 employee count, it's come off substantially as on today. But when I look at the employee cost, the cost for 9 months FY22 and 9 months FY23, there's not much difference in the cost. So if you could help us understand this, and when you say that your loan growth target is 20% for the next year, would we see a substantial increase in the employee cost as well as the employee count? Thank you.
So I think if you look at the yearly, this thing, I think you'll have to look at, the growth in terms of, you know, how the increments and appraisals happen across. That's also one of the factors which you have to take into account. It doesn't remain a steady state, you know, in terms of whenever we have a drop in the terms of employees. And also, you know, we are taking maybe slightly experienced guys when we are looking at right of collections to be done. You know, these are not employees, you know, who would, as we do it in the loan officer category, where we employ them as technically graduates or maybe 12th standard pass, you know. So our loan officers are based on that, you know. So that is where probably, you know, you might look at maybe the slight difference in terms of that. And the second question was for you, or in terms of loan growth.
Yeah, so when we say that we're going to do a 20% loan growth next year, so would this mean that, you know, the number of employees, specifically the loan officer, would increase?
No, so that won't happen. Our current optimum efficiency for every, loan officer looking at borrowers is close to about 450 odd. In fact, you know, for us internally, we've set a benchmark that we would like to go to about 500 to 550. So we will not have any practical rise in terms of our employee cost or personal cost based on that, because the optimum efficiency has started setting in post the pandemic, when new clients are also getting acquired and we are deep diving into every branch in terms of increasing our number of loan clients per branch.
Thank you so much. That's helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Aditi Singh, Head Strategy, for closing comments.
Yeah, so I just want to say thank you for to all of you for coming this morning and attending our call. And I sincerely hope we have addressed all your queries. We try to be thorough, share as much information, be transparent. If still you feel that you want to understand something more deeper or have a detailed discussion, you can always get in touch with me or my team. My name is Aditi Singh, I head strategy. You can also get in touch with my colleague Shweta Bansal, DGM IR. and we shall be happy to take you through any details you want to understand. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Saturn Credit Care Network Limited, that concludes this con. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.